Tancast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
Sometimes the best laughs you get in life are the laughs you get when you're not supposed to be laughing.
In 3, 2, 1.
Cock.
Welcome to Tancast, bitches.
We are cocking it up. We cock it up.
You know, I cut the word cock out of the show, so there's no reason to keep referring to it.
And we cock it out.
Cop it up and cock it out.
I'm Tim, the T in Tancast.
Well, I'm Andy, the cock in Tancast.
Fuck, seriously?
Seriously, you're getting so angry about it?
I cut the word cock out of the show. I was planning to cut this entire thing out.
It doesn't really matter.
It does really matter.
It doesn't.
No, I'm just going to keep poking the chipmunk and see what happens this week.
Tim.
Andy.
Noah.
Tancast.
Hi, I'm Tim Babb. I'm a stand-up comedian. My job is to make people laugh. But you know who makes me laugh? My two old roommates, Andy and Noah. We used to live together in a tan house, so now we get together every week and do this Tancast. This week we talk Prometheus, Nazis, sunburns, Andy's fucking kid, and we try to come up with a better movie than 1997's Batman and Robin, and the returning feature, Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better. And when you hear this sound, that means there's a link to whatever we're talking about in the show notes. Okay, let's start the show.
Tancast.
Welcome to Tancast, bitches. I'm Tim, the T in Tancast.
I'm Andy.
I'm Noah. All right.
That's been it. It's a week. Have a week. With your mom.
She's a lovely lady.
She is. In the ass.
She makes good cookies.
In the ass.
No. Well, maybe. I haven't had her ass cookies.
So, Tim, how was your week? I mean, you know, prior to about 5 minutes ago.
Want
to
do some tan laughs?
Why not?
Doing it.
The Angelo Bowers Memorial Tan Laugh Segment.
Guys, thank you so much.
Now it's time for 10 laughs, here we go. Now it's time to listen to some fucking 10 laughs. Yeah, yeah, so send us jokes. Your mom at tancast.com is where they go. So now it's time for some fucking jokes. Let's hear those 10 laughs, bitches.
Alright, this one's from John. We've been calling him Jonathan, but he signs it John. So, we're gonna call him John this week. See how he likes
Dear
that.
John.
An officer shouted orders to a nearby soldier. With considerable bravery, the GI ran directly into the field of battle in the line of fire to retrieve a dispatch case from a dead soldier. In a hail of bullets, he dove back to safety. Private, the officer said, I'm recommending you for a medal. You risked your life to save the locations of our secret warehouses. Warehouses, the private shouted. I thought you said whorehouses.
Why would you save dirty whores? There's more.
Exactly. Whores are a dime a dozen. Well, depending on where you do your shopping.
Sometimes they're $5.
You, me, GI. Sucky, sucky.
Me, love you, long time.
All right, this 10 left comes from Indiana Bob again. A man and his wife go to their honeymoon hotel for their 25th anniversary. As the couple reflected on that magical evening 25 years ago, the wife asked the husband, "When you first saw my naked body in front of you, what was going through your mind?" The husband replies, "All I wanted to do was fuck your brains out and suck your tits dry." Then as the wife undressed, she asks, "What are you thinking now?" He says, "Looks like I did a pretty good job."
Silly.
Aging's funny.
I feel like I've read this one before, but I'll go read it again. You guys will tell me. It is also from Indiana Bob. A guy walks into a sperm donor bank wearing a ski mask and holding a gun. He goes up to the nurse and demands her to open the sperm bank vault. She says, "But sir, it's just a sperm bank." "I don't care. Open it now," he replies. So she opens the door to the vault, and inside are all the sperm samples. The guy says, "Take one of those sperm samples and drink it." She looks at him, "But the sperm samples, do it!" So the nurse sucks it back. "That one there, drink that one as well." So the nurse drinks that one as well. Finally, after 4 samples, the man takes off his ski mask and says, "See, honey, it's not that hard."
I'm pretty sure we've done that one before, but, you know, we're always up for some misogyny rewind.
We've also done the honeymoon one before, too.
I think you're right. Everything is old and old is new again.
We're just like Hollywood. We don't have any new ideas. We just recycle old ones.
This is Tancast Episode 3, just like the old Episode 3.
We weren't doing Tan Laughs in Episode 3.
Fuck your mom.
Ooh, take that, sir.
I will not take it.
Yes, you take it. You take it straight to the bank, and you deposit it, and you earn a nice return on it.
That shit will bounce.
That's right.
So nice. So, I saw Prometheus.
I was just going to ask you if you saw Prometheus.
I enjoyed it. There's weird nitpicky stuff that's not really that big of an issue, but for the most part, I thought it was a good movie. It is not, like, if you go and expect the aliens, you are not going to get aliens. Like, it is not that action-packed. It is more introspective, you know, like, what does it all mean? Where are we from? It is not like, you know, oh shit, aliens try to kill us, let's destroy them. I mean, there is some of that, but it also tries to be a little deeper.
It's not more horror-like and more suspense?
Suspense, not really there. Like, I won't describe it. There's this one scene where someone's doing something stupid, and you know what's going to happen. Like I've seen enough of these movies, I know exactly what's going to happen. And it's like, don't do that, sir. Yeah, not really a lot of suspense, actually. Yeah, it's just some goriness, mostly. You're just like, holy shit, I can't believe that just happened. But I felt the story was good. Visuals were amazing. I would be interested in seeing a sequel, and, you know, they definitely left it open for that.
So is it a prequel to Aliens?
No. So what it is, it's in the same universe, and there's definitely shades of, like, this carries over to Aliens, but it's not a direct prequel to Aliens.
Yeah, my understanding is that they had originally intended it to be a straight-up Aliens or Alien prequel.
Right.
And that, like, over time, over years of it, like, being developed, they kind of backed off of that idea and wanted to make it more just, like, related to in some tangential way. But, like, at least in the trailers, there's a scene of somebody, just a couple of screens, and I really don't want to, like, go back and watch it on slow-mo because I don't want to spoil anything. But there's somebody who looks like they're putting on some sort of mask and then getting into some sort of, like, giant recliner chair. And it looks like... I think it's referred to by fans as the Space Jockey. I don't think it actually got a name. But it was this giant, giant alien in the original Alien movie that looked like it was, like, partially fused to this big chair that it was in. And its face kind of looked like an alien, or like a, sort of an alien-ish elephant trunk. And whatever this mask is that's, like, seen in the trailers looks just like that face. So I saw that, I was like, oh shit! I'm like, wait a minute, if it's not a giant putting it on, that's not actually the Space Jockey.
So there you go.
Interesting.
I'm not going to say anything about that. What are you talking about? But, yeah.
Yeah, don't, please. Please do not. Because we may go see that one in theaters.
I mean, I definitely would say, a lot of people seem disappointed. I was not disappointed, but I definitely see if you want to enjoy the visuals, I would say definitely see it in the theater. Because it looks very, very pretty. I felt Michael Fassbender did a good job. I don't know. I'm not going to even say that. Let's leave it at that.
All right.
Sparse remove reviews from Tancast.
I don't want to say too much because, you know, Andy here, he starts saying too much. His little brain starts cooking.
Yeah, that's my curse. You say too many things and my brain cooks.
That sucks for our listeners. You don't get to hear anything about the movie because Andy's a bitch.
Well, so, I mean, it's got... I mean, I felt like the acting was good. It has the girl who's in the original Dragon Tattoo, not the remake, as the lead. She is good. She definitely, you know, kind of starts doing a Sigourney Weaver at one point, you know, getting, like, kind of tough and kick-ass. Michael Fassbender, like I said, he does a great job. I don't know, I'm not going to say too much about it. Like, there's so much you can say, but I don't want to reveal anything.
Is Huge Wang the alien?
What was that?
What was that?
I figured out what one of the reveals is from like a 15-second clip that they showed on some talk show.
What's that?
Tim, do you care about spoilers?
Nope.
All right. Spoiler alert, anybody listening to this, well, possible spoiler alert. I'm assuming Michael Fassbender isn't human.
That's
he's a robot.
Yes.
I was assuming his gigantic Michael.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say he did a good job as the android.
And Tim, I think you were about to say you're assuming that Michael Fassbender's slow bender makes an appearance.
No, I was trying to make a stupid Michael Fassbender's cock is the alien joke 3 or 4 times, and it just hasn't happened.
It is a chest burster.
There you go.
I saw something, I think it was on Reddit. I'll see if I can find the photo of it. Somebody like did just a still shot of Charlize Theron, or Theron, or however the fuck you pronounce her last name. It may have been from a movie poster, but it was a shot of her in that like skin-tight spacesuit thing that she's wearing, which, by the way, hotness, and comparing that to a still shot of Samus Aran, or Aran, from Metroid. It was like the subtitle was like Metroid casting. It's like yes, that make that happen, Hollywood.
I'm surprised they haven't made a Metroid movie yet.
I am too.
She was a little too svelte for my liking. She was a little too skinny. It looked like. That's interesting.
Give that pianist a sandwich.
You know, it might even be. It's just like she was just very, very serious. Like her hair was always pulled back. You know what I mean? Like, so I think maybe that's something to do with it as well.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what you would expect from a Metroid movie. I mean.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Been trained to be a weapon, not even a warrior, like her whole life, her whole upbringing. I still like Tim's idea. From when
I had
we were
an
like,
idea?
When we were in high school, your idea of like where the gun hand comes from, that she's actually missing that hand.
Oh yeah.
Look at Tim coming up with ideas.
Yeah,
good man.
And also my idea was that she kills somebody with her stump when she loses her hand in the opening scene.
Yep, I always thought that was bad. I'm like, that would set the tone for the character, Tim.
She shoves her bone through somebody's eye socket.
Yep.
Oh.
That would
be
badass.
Painful.
Yeah, Tim told me
preferably
that idea.
Preferably the person
like,
who cut it off.
Yeah. Yeah, he told me that idea, and I was like, holy shit, yep, that would do it.
Wow, I was dark in high school.
That would totally be one of those like cinematic moments where like you could spend the entire time like they do in all those shitty action movies, like somebody talking super tough to show you how tough they are, or you can have somebody get their fucking hand cut off and shove that bone shard through somebody else's face, and that settles it.
Yep, they're
like,
tough.
Winner.
I'm gonna leave them alone. They are not having a good day.
Like anyone else in this movie who fucks with you clearly didn't hear the story that we just saw. That bit of your legend hasn't gotten out, or else everyone else would have been getting the fuck out of your way.
But I think in the video game, she actually has that hand still.
Yeah, whatever. Movies are a different medium.
they need to
make that scene happen. I mean, clearly, it's been, what, 18 years since you told me about that, and it's still stuck in my head? I was like, yes, that needs to happen.
Just like the bone stuck in the villain's head.
Yep.
Make that movie, Andy.
No, too lazy. Too fat, no connections.
You don't need connections, it's usually a MacBook.
No rights to the character. No previous history writing.
Andy's budget would not make for a great movie.
fan movies, we could do it. Kickstarter project, let's make it happen.
Yeah, the special effects in mine, like when she's shoving that bone into somebody's face, it would very, very clearly just be a bit of chicken like hiding inside of her sleeve.
That's okay.
Like, I can still see her fingers holding the chicken bones.
Perfect.
That's all right. We'll get those out in editing. Oh, we don't have any editing budget? Well, fuck it.
We'll get Uwe Boll.
Yeah.
Oh, Uwe Boll.
Blame the Germans.
The Germans.
The Germans are coming for you.
No, they're coming for Jew.
Yes, they are coming for Jew.
Not anymore. That didn't pan out.
No.
I was actually listening to... No, I'm not gonna even get it because how was your week?
What the fuck?
No attention inside his own head.
It had something to do with that. So I was listening to a podcast and they're talking about how when in the past when there are wars, all this good stuff happens, like, you know, Alexander united the Greeks, but that wasn't his ultimate goal. He had some other goal, and that was just a byproduct of his ultimate, you know, of his other goal. And he had the flip side of that. Like, what if there was some good that came out of the Nazis? Like, what if they were doing evil, but because they were doing evil, something good happened that wouldn't have happened without them, you know, doing what they did?
Like the founding of the State of Israel? Well, and then again, some people may still think the jury's out on that one. Maybe not that the Jewish people got a homeland, but maybe, like, specifically how it was done.
Yeah, because that hasn't caused any sort of contention since then.
Exactly. I think the Jews should have been given part of Germany. So, you know what? God bless this area.
So that was that. Us talking about the Jews made me think of that. That's all. Yeah.
Well, I was listening to this audiobook. It's fairly old. It's called Lies My Teacher Told Me.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
It's about like how much history is left out of your history textbooks, and some of it is just flat out like not said right, and the fact that sometimes they present it as fact when no one's really sure like exactly what happened, but people just agreed on one. Sorry, my wife just appeared behind me like a ninja, putting on like not sunscreen, but it looks like she's like doing that creepy clown thing, like boop 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 boop. She's just ready to lock the door and murder me.
Hi, kids.
Did you yell Jesus Christ at L?
1 second.
One. Fuck, he's late. Well, no, time to talk about video games.
Actually, what were you going to say that would, like, the negatives you think for the new MacBook?
Now, I get that, like, they're trying to make it as small as possible, and at a certain point, like, being able to take things out and put new things in kind of makes it difficult to make things smaller.
Right.
But, like, the fact that all the RAM is, like, soldered onto the motherboard just like it is on the MacBook Air, and the fact that they're not using, like, a regular laptop hard drive, that they're using like this special, and it's not even that it's using the micro SATA standard that a bunch of other manufacturers are going for, that it's something that physically looks like that but electrically still isn't, so like they're still using their own hard drives, and the fact that they still, like, when I looked at their MacBook Pros and was like pricing their RAM and then pricing what their solid state drives are, they still charge out the ass for RAM and for storage.
Yeah,
like, I mean, everything else in the machine. I mean, the machine, like, really well built and very, very affordable for what it is, considering the hardware that's inside. So it's like, it feels like they're not charging for all the design and the engineering that they put into the outside of it. It feels like they're charging for RAM and hard drives, two fucking commodity pieces of hardware. It just kind of gets on my nerves. The idea that's like, well, this isn't upgradable. This is as you buy it, forever.
I felt like Tim's back.
I am back.
It feels like they're moving towards, like, dumbing down the interface and everything else. Like, you can't even select a resolution anymore on the Retina display. It's just, like, you have these options. Like, this is best Retina display. This gives you more real estate. You know, this makes it bigger.
It's really, really tiny, but it actually tells you what the resolutions are.
But now you can't select a specific resolution, though. Like, right now, I can go in and say, I want this specific resolution.
Oh, no. It still tells you, like, what those resolutions are. So when you're selecting, like, this is better, this is more space, this is less space, or whatever.
I guess my point is right now, I have, I don't know how many different options for resolution. I have more than is available on the Retina display. Like, they have 5 options. I have probably 10 options.
Okay. Well, I know from what I was reading about games, where they like take over direct control.
Mm-hmm.
If the games are accessing like the monitor size in one way, like I know Diablo 2 and Portal 2, or sorry, Diablo 3 and Portal 2, somebody tested with both of those. They can see it all the way up to the native resolution, that 2880 by 1800 or whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
So that like. And then they can see, like, resolutions going all the way down from there. So you can set it all the way up to the actual native resolution of the screen.
Within the game.
Within the game, yeah. Or you can set it to any of the, you know, the other resolutions that are, like, the same aspect ratio going down from there. and it'll just scale it.
Okay. Well, I just meant, like, it seemed like it'd be nice if they had, like, actual, like, I want this specific one within the MacBook. Like, it just seems like
they're... Yeah, but have you ever, like, actually opened up your MacBook and gone, I don't want this resolution, I don't want that resolution, I'm going to go halfway?
Doesn't matter if I have done it or not, I still want that option.
Okay. I always run mine at native resolution, so I really don't see... I don't see it as an issue, but I will agree to disagree.
All right. I mean, I just think there's no reason they can't provide that option, so why not? Like, I just don't like it when they take stuff away just because they feel like it's better for you. They're making a choice for you. Like, you don't want this. I'm like, what if I do want that?
I think it's a much bigger issue that you can't upgrade the stuff, that you're kind of splitting hairs when there's bigger things to put. But, again, we're boring Tim.
Okay.
When really what
no,
we should be doing
you're
is...
you're not boring, Tim. You're also boring the audience.
We should be frustrating, Tim. So let's get back to that.
Oh, so I was starting to say we were talking about the Nazis. So so I was listening to Lies My Teacher Told Me. Mm-hmm. Re-listening, I should say. And they were talking about the Native Americans. Well, the parts I'm on right now have largely to do with Native Americans and the stuff that has been left out about them from our history. Among which, apparently, one of... when Hitler was rounding up the Jews, he admired the way we rounded up the Native Americans and used that as somewhat of an example. So,
nice.
Yeah. America was the poster on Hitler's wall.
Oh, so that I can only say this, Tim. America! Fuck yeah!
Nuanced.
That's terrible.
It is terrible. Oh, so I got a sunburn on Sunday on a cloudy day.
This is going to be a great story.
I got sunburned.
Is that sarcasm, Tim?
What?
On a cloudy day. No, I was just talking about how fucking white I am. That was all. Like, it was like dark clouds. Like, it actually rained. And I still got sunburned. Holy fuck, I am pale folk. And my wife, thanks to all the meds she's on, she was like a lobster when we were coming home on Sunday. Like, she was already like... Like, is it hot in here? I'm like, no. Your skin is just livid. That's all.
Skin is angry?
Oh, it looked furious.
Were you guys outside?
Yeah. We went to Charlotte after we recorded Tancast and saw Caitlin's grandparents. And her brother came into town that night. All the way from L.A. Not his wife, though, because she, like, at the very, very last minute, she got called, like, hey, we want to interview for you for a job on Monday. She's like, oh, well, I was scheduled to fly to Charlotte on Saturday. Well, don't. All right, then. Fuck you.
Is this job that awesome?
Yeah, apparently. It's pretty awesome.
Does she work now? Not that it really matters.
I think so, but, like, she doesn't like it. Like, she really doesn't like it.
So she just ate her plane ticket?
No. They called the airline and worked out something to, like, reschedule her flight. I think they may have paid, like, a little bit of a fine or something like that, but...
What the fuck? I tried to change a flight. It costs almost more than the flight.
Wow. No, I think they paid, like, $150 or something like that.
My wife was flying across the country to Pennsylvania, and she was like, you know what? I want to come a day earlier and leave a day earlier. Let's see if I could do that. And just for changing one flight, it was like it was going to cost almost as much as it would to just buy another ticket.
Wow.
Fuck you, Southwest. I think it was Southwest.
Yeah. Slandering them, you don't even know. I think it was Southwest. Fuck you. Maybe. Fuck them. Fuck you.
Like, fuck you, Jews. Wait, are Jews the ones with the pointy hats? No, that's the Klan? All right. Fuck you, Klan.
I know the difference between the Jews and the Klan, Andy.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you've progressed that far, Tim. Yeah, so anyways, visited with him. Then we all went out. Charlotte has this thing where it's like an Olympic training center for, like, white water shit, so, like, kayaking. And it's basically like this big man-made river where they just pump water up to the top of it, and then it goes down these two side branches. And you can actually go there, and you can, you know, picnic or hang out or whatever. Or you can get, like, a day pass or a ride pass or whatever and actually go get on the water and go on either, you know, solo on a kayak or go on, like, a whitewater raft trip where they've got, like, guides that'll take you down these little fake rivers a couple of times. They also have indoors? A huge zip line. I swear this thing's got to be like a half mile long because it took for fucking ever to walk to the end with Drew. And Caitlin and her brother went on the zip line and had a lot of fun. And the entire time we were there, it's like in the 70s and 80s, a little bit of breeze, you know, pleasant, could have worn shorts. But it was like overcast, like looked like it was going to start storming any second. And still, under all those thick clouds, got me a nice red sunburn on the top of my head. Oh, the best part was, it was like the world's worst dandruff when all that shit started flaking off.
White people need to wear hats, especially Andy white people.
Yep. Just goes to show, if the sun is up, doesn't matter if it's out, I will burn.
Well, doesn't the rays that burn you actually go through the clouds?
Well, I mean, obviously some of the rays that you can see with go through the clouds, because it's not pitch black.
Well, right.
There's thick clouds.
But I always, for some reason,
specifically,
I always
thought they... But, well, they don't go through the... Again, they must be attenuated at least a little bit, the UV rays. Because if I'd actually been outside without a hat and without sunscreen or whatever for like 3 hours, I would have been like losing skin on the drive back to her grandparents' house.
For some reason, I thought they said be careful even on cloudy days.
Yes, and it's definitely true. I'm living proof. a little bit of that trip sucked. Because I'd been telling everybody like what time we needed to hit the road so we'd get home at like a reasonable time. And then Caitlin's aunt and uncle, who also live in Charlotte, like 20 minutes away from her grandparents, they took their sweet-ass time like getting to the house for dinner. And I was telling them, I'm like, no, it's okay. And I kind of ate dinner a little bit fast, and everyone's like lingering over dinner and having dessert. And then Caitlin's like hanging out with her family and like helping put stuff away, like taking a lot of time, like talking. And I'm like upstairs packing, and I keep coming down, like signaling to her, like, we got to go. So like 7:45 rolls around when I've been telling everybody, yeah, I want to be out of here like 5. We got home well after midnight. And I was exhausted. And in pain from a sunburn. I was not in a good mood when we walked in the door. I may have been a bit of a dick when we were going home. Just a little.
Impossible.
What? Yeah. Andy, a dick? I feel like every week there's like a story of you being a dick.
No.
You might as well just accept it's your defining characteristic.
Probably. So Tim's silly, I'm a dick, and Noah... No, what's
I
your
have
thing?
A big dick.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not the tangents. It's got to be the big dick.
Should we start on our things?
Oh, what time is it?
I've already started.
How long have we been going?
We're only half hour.
Oh yeah, half hour. All right, we should do it.
Okay. I mean, I don't know how long they're gonna take.
Wait, there's one more story I wanted to tell from like 3 weeks ago.
Sweet Christ on a cross.
Christ is on a cross. He's in pain, Andy, and you want to tell a story.
Yep. My son fell down the stairs a couple of weeks ago.
That's Christ. He's in pain.
All right. Fuck you, Christ. You got to suffer for my sins and my stories.
Anyways, your son.
My son fell down the stairs.
I'm talking over Andy's story.
All the way down the stairs. Well,
I couldn't think of anything clever to say. So I just said what I
was. Wait. He fell all the way down the stairs?
He started at the top.
I mean, I guess he's not dead, or else he would have told us, right?
Yeah. And you wouldn't have heard him on Tancast last week.
True.
Yeah, but I probably would have let you guys know before this. So I was standing in the living room, and the way the stairs are, there's like wall on one side, and the other side's open into the living room with just the banister and the little stiles that hold it up. So I hear my wife scream, and she's like clutching at nothingness as he just starts going down the stairs, and I hear him like yelling and thump 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 thump. I ran to the wall and just like shoved my arm between the stiles, bruised the fuck out of the front and back of my arm, and also wrenched my shoulder. But I caught him. Halfway down the stairs, I managed to catch him and just, like, shove him down on the stairs so he wouldn't fall any further. He'd cut up scratched up his forehead and his feet, because his forehead hit the wall side, and like it was like a rug burn kind of thing, but from the wall. And his feet were hitting the stiles going down, so it was like somebody playing a weird out-of-tune xylophone, just do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. All the way down.
I like that Andy's kid fell down the stairs, but the first report of injuries we get are of him bruising his arm and shoulder.
Wait. Listen what happened to me.
My kid fell down the stairs and I got a boo-boo.
I think his skull's fractured, but look at this bruise I have.
Yeah.
Look at this. It's black and blue.
You know why that gets told first? Why that gets prime importance? Because I didn't do anything stupid to get those injuries.
How's he doing now?
That reason does not hold water, sir.
Yeah, the best part of that whole story is, like, a day later, he's fucking around on the stairs again.
That kid just, like, is on the stairs again!
Oh, and like 2 or 3 days later, we keep yelling at him because he likes to go in the kitchen and like stand on the fucking chairs in, we've got a dine-in kitchen. He likes to go and stand on the chairs in there. We tell him, like, you are going to fall. You will knock those chairs over. They are not meant to be stood upon. Fucking stop it. We turn our backs on him for like a minute. He runs into the kitchen, hops up on one of the chairs, and goes straight over backwards in the chair. Like, I don't know what he was doing, if he was fucking slam dancing in there or something. But he took that thing back and just straight, like, back on the ground, head hits the linoleum. We just hear this thud and then silence, just sickening, horrible silence. And then... So we go running and check him out. No signs of concussion. No signs of, you know, like, torqued neck or anything like that. Caitlin wants to scoop him up. I'm like, don't move him. Check him first. So, yeah. Remember, like, 3 years ago when I kept telling you guys he's, like, fucking suicidal baby? Well, apparently that's not a phase.
I think that's just children.
Yeah.
I think we coddle our children. Well, no, not we. I don't have any children. But I think we protect our children way too much. I think they need to get banged around and then they learn some shit.
Yeah, I'm good with getting banged around and learning some shit. But the kid who fell down the stairs was back on the stairs like a day later fucking around.
He obviously needs to fall again.
I think the lesson is white people beat your kids. They've been saying it on BT for years, and nobody's been listening. White people beat your kids.
Fair enough. Will do.
Just waiting for white America to know what hacky black comedians have known for decades.
There you go. Beat the shit out of your kids. Advice from Tim.
Parenting advice from Tim. Beat your kids.
Beat your kids. Beat your wife.
They're beating everybody up in here.
So I went and read the Wikipedia description of Batman.
Whoa, let's stop.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, Noah.
Stop, relax, slow your roll.
Fucking Andy wants to take the conversation 7 steps back. Noah wants to take it 7 steps forward. Okay, so we're bringing back the only once used feature on this show called Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better.
Anything you can do, I can do better. Yes, I can.
This week, we are revisiting the 1997 classic Joel Schumacher opus, Batman and Robin. So the charge for the three Tancasters was to come up with a better movie than that. You could change the casting, you could change the plot, you could change the characters. The only thing is, it still had to be essentially in the same... Like, it's not a reboot. It's not like Batman Begins. It happens... You know, Batman 1989 happened, Batman Returns happened, Batman Forever happened, and then this movie takes place after that. So, the Joker is dead. The Two-Face is dead. And now he has the indefinite article in front of his name for no reason. Penguin is dead. Who else is dead? Somebody else died in Forever. I can't think who it is.
Max Schreck.
Oh, that was, yeah, Return. No one's going to give a shit about Max Schreck.
Yeah.
Fuck Max Schreck. Well, regardless. And the Riddler is in Arkham. So, like, all those things are in place up until the start of this universe. So, but from there, you can go wherever you want. Like, you could bring the Joker back, but... He was dead up until now, so he can't just show up. Like, that has to be a plot point.
I mean, the scene was like he was on the ground and the thing was laughing, right?
He was on the ground and his little laugh box was laughing, but...
Yeah, I thought about bringing him back, and then I watched the scene and saw how far he fell. And I was like, that's going to be tough.
Yep.
Secret, they were going to bring him back for a Batman 5 had Batman and Robin not been so shitty. Were they going to bring him back, Nicholson was going to do it.
Did they explain how?
I think it was going to be in some sort of hallucination. Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn was going to be his daughter, and somehow Batman was going to be hallucinating the original Joker as well.
Oh, so it wasn't really coming back like he was alive again. It was just going to be all fake.
Right, but they're just so desperate to work him back into the story.
Okay, I didn't really think about that angle. I went and read the Wikipedia entry for Batman and Robin. If you just read the Wikipedia entry, it doesn't sound like that bad of a movie.
Really?
You read it, you're like, yep, that doesn't sound too bad.
No,
like,
I'm sure if you read the Wikipedia entry on the Black Plague, it doesn't sound like that bad of a time to be around.
No, I'm sure it sounds horrible. Yeah, I was listening to the Now Playing podcast because I apparently like people who it is joyless to watch movies with. The only joy I get from listening to Now Playing podcast is when they review movies that I already don't like.
Yeah.
And even then, sometimes it's not because they'll find something. Those will be the movies they find something to like in. I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know what you people.
In fact, in Transformers, really, it was sort of a meta commentary on our reliance on modern technology to get us through. And now that technology is going to let us down because it's polluting.
That was the series that actually won me back over from Now Playing because they hated that so much. They hated all three Transformers so much. Like one dude just went on his fucking rant tirade at the very end of it, just like about how insulted he was by these movies, this series. And he's like, normally if we do a film series and then later on they do another movie, we'll come back. Fuck that. We are not coming back. It amused me. But one of the guys actually recommended Batman and Robin. I was like, you can go kill yourself.
Right now.
Because at the end, they do, instead of, like a thumbs up, thumbs down, they either give a recommend or not recommend. Two of them heartily. It was funny, when they reviewed Batman Forever, one of them was like, I can't see how Batman and Robin is going to be any worse than this. And then he comes back, I apologize to everybody for last week. I didn't think it could get much worse, but they did.
Oh, God, did they.
So should we sum up the original plot summary of Batman and Robin for those who may not know?
Sure. You'll do it faster than I will, so go ahead.
Okay. Okay, so there's a new villain in Gotham. His name is Mr. Freeze, who is for some reason stealing diamonds to power his cryo suit, which he needs to sustain his life because he fell in a vat of cryogenic chemicals, and so now his body has to be kept at absolute zero at all times. Meanwhile, his wife is dying from some disease, so she is cryogenically frozen, and he's trying to find the cure. You wouldn't know that from his actions anywhere in the movie, but that is his motivation. Batman and Robin show up to stop him from doing one of his diamond heists. Batman, of course, starts by sliding down the side of a gigantic Tyrannosaurus Rex as though he's Fred Flintstone at the opening credits.
Batman. It's the Batman.
Then they end up in a rocket ship that is about to explode, so they take the doors off it and surf them down a building, as you would.
By the way,
I'm not going to take every scene in detail, but it's just important to show how stupid the opening is.
I was going to say, I completely take back everything I said about Tim making this shorter than mine.
Well, I was watching the scene from the first Batman, and that does not hold up. Like, it looks pretty ridiculous, almost can't be like the show.
Wait,
like
which scene from the first Batman?
The final scene from the first Batman where they're fighting up in the bell tower.
Go back and watch the show again. It's not nearly that camp.
Jack Nicholson was totally doing the Joker from that show.
No.
Yeah,
yeah,
no.
Go and watch it again.
Go back and watch Cesar Romero again.
Yeah.
I remember what Cesar Romero looks like.
I don't think you remember what he looks like, but I don't think you remember.
Sure, he wasn't
acting
as bad, but he was hamming up pretty good, and he had the exact same costume.
Okay, how gay was Jack Nicholson in that scene? Because unless your answer is very, you don't remember Batman very well.
Semi.
And did he have a mustache that was just painted over with white paint? No, that he wasn't Frank Gorshin. Or sorry, Cesar Romero.
I stand by my statement. It does not hold up.
I stand by your statement being wrong. So, we both stand by your statement. I'm just flipping at the bird.
Okay.
Then there's some chick in South America who is working on plants, and somehow, they want to use whatever she's working on as a weaponized venom. And so they try and kill her. I can't remember what happens, but, like, it ends up with her creating this big brainless killing machine named Bane, and her falling into a vat of plants. Or she gets supposed to get poisoned with pesticides, but or something like that. But instead she becomes, like, this plant person with poison kisses, and so she becomes Poison Ivy and comes to Gotham for some reason. I think it's because the Wayne Corporation didn't do enough to stop whatever she was doing, so she's going to take it out on him. And then, for no good reason, a plant person who would need heat and water to live and thrive teams up with an ice person who needs neither of those things, and they're going to team up to fight the dynamic duo. And now, of course, Batman and Robin are fighting over Poison Ivy for no reason. But wait, Alfred is also sick with the same disease that Mr. Freeze's wife has, and but don't worry, because his fucking niece is in town, Alicia Silverstone, who is going to eventually be Batgirl, and then eventually they all team up and they stop him. So, to recap, characters introduced in this movie: Batgirl, Bane, Mr. Freeze, and Poison Ivy. They have to tell four origin stories in one movie. Oh, and also, Batman has a girlfriend. You don't... it's not any of the girls we've seen before now, but she's there. That's a lot of fucking story.
Yeah.
All right.
That is. Holy shit.
Noah doesn't care. Noah's gone.
No, I'm here. So Batman Forever is before or after?
Batman Forever is before.
Batman Forever is Val Kilmer. It's before Batman and Robin.
Okay, good. Okay, cool. That's all.
Excellent. Okay, so do we want to do our alternate versions of the movie?
Sure. Who wants to go first? I guess that's me.
All right.
Let's not all just stand here staring at our dicks, fellas.
My dick is pretty.
So is mine.
So, still sticking with the 1997-ish time frame of it. I definitely think.
Okay.
I know. I know the rules.
Well, you're making Trust it sound me. Like you made that choice as opposed to that was one of the requirements.
Okay, whatever. So
it was important to me because it affected my thing. That's why I bring it up.
I like you two of you interrupting each other. That's fun.
It affected me too. Anyways. As I was saying, so still since it's happening in 1997, I had to pick a Batman from that time. I definitely don't want it to be Val Kilmer because, Joel Schumacher, first thing, get rid of the director. My gut feeling was bring back Tim Burton. I don't think that, Zack Snyder might have been decent about it. But I don't think that that any of the people who've been doing like the recent Batman or X-Men or anything else like that, I don't think they really had like big careers back in the late 90s. So I kind of came down to either Tim Burton or Terry Gilliam. I think Terry Gilliam might be a little bit too weird and too dark and too surreal for the Batman version that I have in my head. So I kind of settled back on Tim Burton to direct. Val Kilmer, and I know part of it's got to be that Joel Schumacher was telling him, well, you know, Batman's a pretty boy, so just stand there and look pretty. But he seemed like he was just sort of like posing and lounging places a bit too much. And it may have also been that was during Val Kilmer's pose and lounge phase. Who knows? So I'm going to stick with George Clooney for Batman. But I am going to recast the shit out of Robin.
Really?
Yes.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Because fuck that dude.
All right.
So instead of Chris What's-His-Butt.
O'Donnell?
Yes, Chris O'Donnell. I'm going to put in Edward Norton.
Hmm.
Who is approximately the same age.
Mm-hmm.
because I want my Robin small, and I want him wiry, and I want him angry. And this is right around the time that Edward Norton was doing... It was just before Fight Club. I think it was the same year that American History X came out. So it's that Edward Norton that we're getting.
Seems a little old to be Robin.
He was the same age as Chris O'Donnell. Or like a year older. I looked it up. So he would have been like somewhere between like 26 and 28 when this is shooting. You know, depending on when all the filming was taking place. So yeah, he might be a little old. But then again, so was Chris O'Donnell. And he looked young.
Okay.
And he was small. So, you know, shave him down. He's a nice hairless boy for George Clooney to love on. I'm keeping Mr. Freeze, but It is not fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What?
I know. Madness. Big surprise. So, Mr. Freeze, Patrick Stewart.
That is who they wanted originally. Or who they were talked about originally.
That is who they should have kept. I'm also keeping Poison Ivy. But
really?
Yeah. But instead of Uma Thurman, I'm doing somebody else with a weird name, Mila Jovovich.
Interesting.
I thought about her. I was like, nah, I don't think that's going to work.
I want her sexier, and I want her slinkier, and I want her a bit darker. So this is Mila Jovovich, and also willing to do some either nudity or very near nudity. And this is her right around the time of Fifth Element, so she's good to go. The same dude can go ahead and play Alfred. Batgirl is not his fucking niece. Batgirl is Commissioner Gordon's niece. And in my version, she's played by Natalie Portman.
Ooh. I like it.
Thank you. So, Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy are not teaming up in my version. Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy are diametrically opposed. Poison Ivy is an eco-terrorist who has been... she has been experimented upon by someone who's himself a crazy eco-terrorist. He can even be played by the same guy. I think it was it John Glover that tried to kill Poison Ivy?
I don't know. It's not worth sticking. It's not worth being a sticking point.
Okay, well, I'm willing to make John Glover the guy who's kind of like her mentor. And instead of being like he tried to kill her and she came back as Poison Ivy man-hating, he's been experimenting on her and trying to, you know, turn her into this superpowered avatar of plants because he thinks that humans are polluting and ruining the planet. He's the one who's got the hard-on for Bruce Wayne and wants to send her after Gotham as the first thing to bring down, you know, this citadel of Bruce Wayne. Mr. Freeze, his wife does have a rare disease. He has figured out a way to hold the disease off, but it's her that he had to apply all the cryogenic shit to, which is why she's frozen, because he can get her out of the tube, but to keep the disease from progressing, he's got to keep her at cryogenic temperatures, not himself. His suit is to protect him from the ice age he is trying to bring on in the world, which is what sets him against Poison Ivy. So the two of them are both trying to ruin the world. She's trying to kill all the humans to bring the plants up. Mr. Freeze is trying to freeze the world so he can let his wife out of lockup and they can live the rest of their lives together. I imagine some sort of horrible fight scene where Batman and Robin kind of wind up beat to shit, and that's where Batgirl's got to show up. But I definitely do not see her showing up like What's Her Butt did.
Alicia Silverstone?
Yes, thank you, Alicia Silverstone. See, it's all falling out of my head because that movie was so shitty. I can't keep their shitty-ass names in my head. I had thought about, but I could not justify having the Riddler actually be behind setting both of them on Gotham, that he was like quietly pulling the strings as revenge for the previous movie, and that he's fully insane at this point, and so he doesn't care if the world gets destroyed. He really just wants to kill Batman, which is why he's kind of planted in both of them that they should start with Gotham. But I kind of backed off from that because I think that might be just like too many enemies. So, massive, massive three-sided battles. Poison Ivy and her crazy plants. They don't have really good CGI at this point, but I'm still sure that you know, they could at least do some audio animatronic like Little Shop of Horrors shit. Mr. Freeze trying to kill the plants at the same time that she's just taking out his minions left and right. Batman and Robin, and now Batgirl kind of stuck in the middle. They wind up getting knocked down. They're tied up. The ice is coming. The plants are coming. And who shows up to save the day? Catwoman. Michelle Pfeiffer, back in the suit. Scarred to shit underneath that mask, which is why she's been in hiding for the last movie. But she comes in, kicks some ass, saves the day. Too much?
Okay.
There's a lot going on there, sir.
I know.
Indeed. I would say there's arguably just as much going on as in the Schumacher version, but, you know, do what you do.
Yeah, I would say so. At the very least, I've got the people who you would think would be fighting.
All right, you don't need to defend it. We need to move on to other stories.
All right. Tim, Noah, one of you.
I'll go. I'm ditching Batgirl and Bane. They're not there. I just picked a director because I didn't think about that. But I was like, this might be interesting. Steven Soderbergh as the director.
Oh, yeah, I can get behind that.
That was back when he was doing Out of Sight. I also went with Patrick Stewart as Mr. Freeze, and then I found out later that he was originally considered for it. I'm going for the Mr. Freeze look of Batman the Animated Series after they did the revamp. I'm sticking with Poison Ivy. Rene Russo as Poison Ivy.
Interesting.
Good choice.
Batman, I'm going with Viggo Mortensen.
Okay.
Alfred. It's like, he seems kind of interesting.
Wouldn't that have been like Viggo Mortensen's breakout role, though? I mean, I think he'd only played Satan in...
it doesn't matter.
Okay.
We need to finish this. I need to get going.
Alrighty.
Sorry, don't mean to cut you off, but it's almost time for us to end anyways. Viggo Mortensen is Batman. Michael Caine is Alfred. Jared okay. Leto as Robin. And then Commissioner Gordon, I'm going with Gary Oldman, because they're still around. I would keep the original origin of Mr. Freeze. He needs it in cryogenic suit because there was an accident when he was trying to cure his terminally ill wife. So he needs his suit to stay alive. And then for Poison Ivy, I'm keeping her origin as well. Well, one of her origins, where she was experimented on by a professor who injected some poison into her, and almost some poison toxins, and almost killed her, and also drove her crazy, and caused her to have mood swings. I think I was not inspired with this one, so my reasons for them, Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy being together, are a little cheesy. But I said she is in love with Batman, and if no one can have, if she can't have him, no one can. So. So she has recruited Mr. Freeze to help her take down Batman, and she has found a plant that will help cure his wife, Nora. So that is why they are teaming up. In the meantime, I'm kind of stealing some of what happened in the movie where Batman and Robin are at odds, and I'm going more with Robin more wants to be on his own, and he thinks he's, like, you know, kind of learned, and he can kind of be on his own more, and Batman thinks he's not ready. Yep. So... I'm just going to keep this brief. Batman and, Poison Ivy and Mr. Freeze are attacking different areas. Mr. Freeze is attacking a lab. Poison Ivy is attacking a development where they're cutting down trees. And so Batman wants to attack them one at a time, and Robin wants to split up. So Robin goes after Poison Ivy. Batman goes after Mr. Freeze. Poison Ivy enchants Robin and makes her... takes him hostage, and then Mr. Freeze escapes, and then they all meet up at, I don't know, a warehouse. No, actually, an abandoned zoo. That's why I put an abandoned zoo. And they have a little fight, and Robin breaks free of the enchantment and breaks free of his, you know, he's tied up, and they take down Poison Ivy. In the meantime, Mr. Freeze is able to get the plant from Poison Ivy and able to cure his wife, but she sees what he's become and rejects him.
Ooh.
So he just gives up. And the final part of the movie is Batman realizes that Robin or Dick Grayson is ready to be on his own. And, you know, the final scene is him as Nightwing.
Interesting.
I like it.
My turn?
So there you go. What was that?
I said my turn, or did Noah want to discuss
that's it?
Okay. So, I went with, for director, John McTiernan of Die Hard fame.
Ah, also interesting.
Yes. All right. I kept Clooney as Batman, kept O'Donnell as Robin. I ditched Poison Ivy because Uma Thurman just stained that character, so there's just no need for her ever, again, for anything.
Correct.
Kept Mr. Freeze. I went with what I thought of at the time would have been great casting, Sean Connery. And before you say he wouldn't do a movie this stupid, he did The Avengers with Uma Thurman.
He also did League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, so, sir, no argument here.
Okay, good. I'm also keeping Bane. I didn't think of who to cast him as. Some big, muscle-bound guy that they will dub over with an intelligent guy's voice.
Kane Hodder.
Sure.
The guy who played Jason.
All right. And I'm also keeping Batgirl, and I'm casting Sarah Michelle Gellar, who had been doing Buffy for 2 years at this point.
You're right.
So the story is Mr. Freeze is... Well, Mr. whatever his actual last name is working with... He is basically working with this big crime syndicate like he's being their like scientist and supplying them with freeze weapons, because in return for them like stealing money, giving him capital to try and cure his wife. Batman and Robin stumble upon or find where their hideout is. There's a big shootout. Oh, by the way, so what he's also doing? Sorry, I should have said this. He's been experimenting on the Mr. Freeze has been experimenting on criminals that they've captured. So like he's cryogenically frozen them and trying to bring them back to life with these various serums, and it usually just ends up killing them horribly. So that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. The moment they get interrupted by Batman and Robin, they have a big fight with the gang people. There's of course an accident where Mr. Freeze becomes Mr. Freeze. But also, one of the people they're experimenting on is this political prisoner from South America named Bane, who now becomes this hulking mass of angry villain. Somehow the whole thing explodes. Let's say Mr. Freeze's wife dies in the explosion. So now he's angry at Batman, but somehow Freeze and Bane escape, but the rest of the gang is rounded up. Whatever. So you hear this story, and then as you come out of it, you realize you're hearing someone talk about this story, and it is Barbara Gordon at college giving a dissertation about Batman. Who is she? Like, she's taking a criminology class, and Dick Grayson happens to be in the class with her. We later learn as they're talking that she is trying. She wants to join the Batman. Oh, I had this other idea for a scene where, we see her. She's walking across like a campus at night, and we see that she's being followed, and then we see that her followers are being followed, and then all of a sudden two more guys step out in front of her, and just as Batman jumps out to try and save her, she is already kicking all their asses to the point where two are on the ground, she's fighting the third, the fourth is running away, Batman stops the fourth one from running away just in time to see her kill the third one. I still think that scene would be awesome. Not kill, but you know.
Kill?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not kill, I shouldn't have said that, but whatever, subdue, knock him out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I still think that would be cool to see a scene where where the woman completely handles business by herself. Like, she did not need Batman to come in and save the day. She handled business on her own. So I feel like that scene should be worked in somewhere. So basically there's fighting between, Batman and Robin are trying to find Bane and Freeze. Bane kills Robin at some point. So that is the dramatic moment of the movie. Batman is questioning, if he's responsible for this. I want to say he captures Mr. Freeze at this point, and Mr. Freeze is trying to find out how he can track Bane and stop him, and that's when Barbara Gordon shows up, makes herself as Batgirl, because she is pieced together throughout this, the secret identity of Batman. She is able to get the information from Freeze. They go and they stop Bane. And that's the end of the movie.
Interesting.
Basically, the big set piece was going to be the killing of Robin and that bringing Batman down and bringing the tone of the film down, and then there was fighting.
I had also considered having Robin killed, and I had considered having Batgirl take his place in the last scene as the new Robin.
Yeah, I thought about I always thought it should be Batgirl. And also, she keeps the fucking cowl on.
Yes.
In the movie, she was supposed to have a cowl because that's what the toys were and everything, but Joel Schumacher didn't want to cover up her hair. They say that in Now Playing when Barbara shows up. She goes, Batgirl shows up, and she goes, "It's me, Barbara." And they go, "No fucking shit. You have a shit disguise."
When she did that, I actually said it under my breath, "Barbara, Barbara, Barbara." Fucking hate that movie.
So there you go.
I don't remember what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, I also thought about killing Robin. I was going to go with the killing joke timeline, but then I was like, how am I going to bring Joker back? And I was like, fuck it. And I went a different direction.
There you go.
Yeah.
Those are our three. We'll put a little thing in the show notes. You can vote on which one you like. You'll probably never see it because iTunes still doesn't know that we have new shows. Have we thought about asking WordPress about that, by the way?
I haven't thought about asking WordPress about it. I was going to ping the guys who make the podcasting stuff that we use.
Okay.
See if anybody on their forum has been having a similar issue. I did just update WordPress and the podcasting software, and I made a couple of other changes. So I did all that stuff yesterday, so I'm waiting until today to see if iTunes maybe picks it up again.
Okay.
Because this is really fucking annoying.
Yes. So thank you for listeners who are sticking with us. Thank you for Noah, who's got to go. Thank you for me, whose baby's awake.
Do we vote now?
Do you want to vote?
I thought we voted last time.
Yeah, I think we did. Like, who we thought was best.
I thought we needed to go. I don't want to really not fast. Get Noah's file before he leaves.
Okay. It would only take a second, but let's go. We'll discuss it next week. How about that?
I like it.
All right. Never trust Andy to not interrupt you. Have a week.
This week, I figured out that Skeletor's crazy voice in He-Man was to undercut the fact that he's missing his fucking face.
You're doing it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the TanCast podcast. You can go to our official website, TanCast.com, where you can read our blogs and find links to the official TanCast Facebook page, the official TanCast Twitter page, and the official TanCast store. We'd love to get emails from you, so email us at fucktards@TanCast.com or yourmom@TanCast.com, or you can email the guys individually at Tim, Andy, or Noah at TanCast.com. As always, we'd like to thank DJ Technoid for creating the official TanCast theme, and we'd like to remind you to subscribe to us on iTunes and write us a review so other people can find us. That's all for this week, and as always, remember, don't be an idiot!
TanCast. I don't know why, but for years now, I will occasionally get this really intense pain in one specific spot on my right temple, and it's the skin, it's not like inside. So it's not a tumor.
It is a tumor, actually. You're gonna die. I love you.
good save there, Noah.
As long as you say I love you, it's all right. You can say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Go fuck yourself. I love you.